You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. And what a blessing it is to be around God's people, to be identified with the North Valley Baptist Church. And man, it's an honor to be here. I preached this morning or spoke in the Lifeline class for Brother Alvin. And my wife was over here jabbing me the whole time, said, you know, why don't you do it like this? And man, they had dinner on the grounds for breakfast and coffee and just a real 30-minute short thing. I mean, you know, a little sermonette for the Christianette. Somebody say amen. Dressed like a majorette, driving a Corvette, smoking that cigarette. But and I said, well, really, you know, you just need to mind your own business. And I ain't looking over that way, because if she hisses at me, I'll throw a shoe over at her. But I'm reminded of a lady walking past the insane asylum, and she heard people in there screaming, 13, 13, 13, 13. They're screaming, 13, 13. And there was a fence all the way around. There were some boards to keep the privacy. And she found a knot hole, and she looked through that hole, and one of them just jobbed her in the eye. And they started saying, 14, 14, 14, 14. And she learned to mind her own business. Amen. And I won't preach long. I want to preach just, I'd like to speak for 15 minutes. I never have done it, but I've always wanted to, and I'd like to. Matthew chapter 7 are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was back in the mid-80s that the Southern Baptist Convention convened there at Broadway in Nashville, their headquarters. And they voted, the delegates that represented the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention voted that they would accept the red letters as the inspired word of God. Well, let me help you, friend. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We believe the Bible is inspired from Genesis to Revelation, and it's God's word. And so this morning when I read, I'm not just reading a portion of an inspired word. I'm reading a portion, but I'm holding the completed Bible in my hand. And I thank God for the Bible. Psalms 119, 140 said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servants loveth it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I thank the Lord for the word of God. He's given admonition to humanity as he writes in chapter 7. Really, he's given words about eternity. And this morning as I read this text, I realize I'm addressing probably three groups of people in here. I'm addressing a natural man, and he's unsaved. He's far into the things of God. He may have been invited here for the very first time. He or she's come through the doors, and this is new to them. And the Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of spirit, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But you're in an atmosphere this morning, natural man, unsaved man, where the Holy Spirit's had liberty. And he's already manifested himself here. And then there's the cold and indifferent. There's that one who's walking afar off. And there may be somebody in here like that, maybe several, who are distant from God, really contemplating on throwing in the towel of service, but quitting. But we ought not quit. We're getting closer to the end. And then I'm preaching to some Christians who are saying, tell me more, you know. And within that crowd, of, you know, the natural man, then I'm preaching to saints of God that this message ought to challenge you. If you're lost, really, it ought to do more than that. It ought to sober you to the brevity of life. The Bible says, what is your life? It's a vapor, like the steam coming off your coffee this morning, which appeareth for a short time, then vanisheth away. Proverbs 27:1 said, boast not thyself on tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Everybody has good intentions. I don't believe anybody plans to go to hell. Old Carl Hatch, you mind me telling this, and I'll get to the message, but old Preacher Hatch was a soul winner. And I mean, he had witnessed anybody. And I was with him one day in Virginia, in Lynchburg, Virginia. He was preaching a little rural church. I was going to college up there, and I went with him to that church, and he took me soul winning, and we came to a biker. And I mean, he had his colors on and his vest, and I mean, had a knife down in his boot, and had that wallet with that chain on it. I mean, he had every sign of a biker. And old Carl Hatch ain't scared of anybody. And he walked up to him and he said, "Let me shoot straight with you." He said, "You're probably dying and going to hell." And that biker looked at him and said, "Yeah, I'm going to hell, and we're going to go party with my old lady." He said, "I want to go to hell." He said, "We're going to go party." He said, "She'd been died about 2 years ago. We're going to throw a big party in hell." And old Brother Hatch said, "Well, you don't care if I pray, do you?" And that boy said, "I don't care what you do." And old Preacher Hatch said, "Oh, God, I pray tonight you'd kill this man right now. He wants to go party in hell. I pray you'd take his life. Lord, I pray you'd just extinguish his life now. Send a thunderbolt. God, let him strike down with a heart attack." That guy said, "Man, stop. What are you doing? Are you crazy or something?" Old Carl said, "You ain't as tough as you thought you were, are you, praise God?" Now, you may be here and think you're tough, but when you hear these words, it ought to sober you. And to the saint of God who pastors a church or as a lay person, you've got loved ones, lost friends, it ought to waken us. It's serious business. I'll read to you. Verse 13, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let me just help you real quickly. That's King James straight. You don't need a commentary for that. If you've got a King James Bible, it defines itself. The context, the words before and after, will give you the definition for that hard word straight. It says it's narrow. That defines it. Amen. You don't need a doctor's degree for that. And if you don't have a King James, set down what you got and pick up a hymn book while I'm preaching for the next few minutes. Amen. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, I know you say, "Judge not." I don't mean to get on all this, Dr. Trim. I'm going to get right to the message, but we're being strummed like a cheap banjo with the words of the earlier chapter 7. But then right here it says we are to judge. And there's no contradictions in Scripture. The only thing I cannot judge is your motive. When he says judge, I don't know why you do what you do, but by your actions I can tell what you do. Amen, that's Bible. Amen. He says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege, and I do count it that privilege and an honor to be standing here today. And I realize that the arm of flesh will fail me. It has failed me many occasions. And so the best way I know how, I yield myself to you from the top of my head, the sole of my feet. I desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And give me courage, backbone, to say everything I ought to say this morning, but give me tenderness and give me discernment not to say anything that wouldn't bring glory and honor to you and draw sinners to the Savior and exhort saints to serve you more effectively in these latter days. Bless this place. Bless all the activities of today, not just here, but I'm concerned with North Valley Baptist Church and the functions, the conference that's coming, and I pray you'd honor them, bless them for their efforts to try to help preachers and churches across the globe. At the same time this morning, I pray for preachers, missionaries all across the world who are standing behind pulpits or will stand or have stood already. I pray that you'd bless what's been preached and bless what will be preached. And let us see a harvest of sinners as we await your coming. Now help us to leave these walls with a better handle on this text, understanding and application of truth, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to preach to you fast. You listen fast. But this is a text of Scripture where Jesus Christ is really not just addressing the few that he's in the audience of, but it's addressing humanity from Adam till days to come. He's telling everybody the importance of eternity. And eternity is not make-believe. It's real. And I believe the first thing he emphasizes in this text, if you want to jot them down, you can. Number one, he says that there is a hell. That's not preached on much in our day. It's shunned by most pulpits. Most crowds would rather hear something 10 steps to a better self-image. But you got to understand there's a place called hell. The Bible said the wicked shall be cast into hell in every nation that forgets God. The Bible said the rich man died and in hell he lifted his eyes being in torments. Now hell's not just a figment of our imagination. It's not a make-believe place. It's not where the booger man is. Understand me now. It's not just some kind of a place that we deem as dark, but it's a place of outer darkness, a place where the worm never dieth and the fire is not quenched, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of fire and brimstone. It's a lake of fire. It's a bottomless pit. I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there. The Lord Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the reality in this text is he tells the world, he tells humanity that there's a place called hell. Now, I don't like it. I know that some view the fundamental Bible-believing Baptist preacher as somebody who is excited about preaching on hell, like they want people to go. Well, that's a very, very, very grave misunderstanding. We're concerned. Jude said some have compassion, making a difference. And we're going to warn and we're going to do our best to try to keep people out of hell. But the reality is that there is a place called hell. And you're never going to get saved till you get lost. You have to understand the sweetness of heaven, how wonderful and how beautiful heaven must be. But at the same time, listen, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die in disbelief, you'll wake up in a devil's hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hell is a reality. He wants everybody to know that. And I'm reminding saints of God, students from the college, deacons here. I'm talking about those that are Sunday school teachers, bus captains. He wants us to know that there is a place called hell. When you die, you don't just pass go and collect $200. This ain't no game, friend. When you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be eternal damnation forever and ever and ever. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm never dies and the fire's not quenched. In the South, we have rain often. It's kind of unusual for y'all. But we have rain all the time. In the hot summertime, rain will fall and earthworms will come to the surface. Many of them will work their way up on a concrete or some pavement, and within minutes the sun will come back out beaming down in the 80s and 90s, sometime in the 100s. And that hot light and that air that dries, I've watched worms disintegrate, actually evaporate, and they're not even visible anymore. They're gone. But in hell, the worm never dies. Something is insignificant. The makeup and composition of that anatomy of a worm is small. And in the light of the sun, it can evaporate. But in hell, it keeps burning and 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 keeps burning where the fire is not quenched. The awfulness of hell, the sound of hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, how the torments of hell. You don't want to go there. And he wants everybody to know that there's a hell. Number two in the text, he explains, he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way to destruction. There's a hell. Number two, not everybody's going to heaven. I'm no more excited about that than I am about the reality of hell. It bothers me. I wish it was so that kumbaya, we all hold hands and universalism. Would that be good if just everybody's going to heaven? We're all creations of God, but we're not all sons of God. Amen. Behold, what manner of the love the Father bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. I have a relationship that started by grace through faith. I heard a story how Jesus died for me upon a cross, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I trusted that, and that's my door into heaven, praise God. But many, many says here that they're not going to make it. Not everybody's going. My daddy was a postman for many years before he took the church full time at Forest Hills. And one Monday morning, they came to the post office. They were in the break room, and there's four or five of them mail carriers. And they said, "Brother Curtis, what'd you preach on this Sunday?" And he said, "Well, I preached this Sunday on how to go to heaven." And one of the ladies spoke up and said, "Well," said, "I just believe it's like this," said, "you know, people go different ways. The Buddhist has his way. The Islam teaches their way. And the Hindus have their way. And we're all just, you know, we're going." And she said, "Let me give you for instance." She said, "This morning you came down East Ponce de Leon and you hit Stone Mountain Freeway and you came in and said, Bob came down Covenant Highway." And she said, "I came all the way down 78. And she said, but in the end, we all made it to the post office. Daddy said, "That sounds good, but when you die, you ain't going to the post office. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given a name above every name, the name of Jesus." Not Allah, not Buddha, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's not a door, he's the door. He's exclusive. "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter the city, shall be saved and go in and out and find pastures. But the thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life, and you may have it more abundantly." And thank God you can go to heaven, but the truth is, not everybody's going to heaven. In fact, the sad reality is more people are going to hell than going to heaven. Let's look at the text again. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein." More people's going to hell. The Calvinists say that, you know, there's just a few elected and God already knew it all. That's such false doctrine. Don't you, young preacher, be duped into that. Y'all listen to me. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. The Bible said that hell hath enlarged herself. That means God must have made a mistake on his count. On his unconditional election, he must have made a mistake, because hell has to enlarge herself. He only designed it for the devil and his angels, but he wants everybody to be saved. But those who reject the free pardon of sin wind up in a devil's hell. There is a hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. More people are going to hell than going to heaven. Boy, that ought to sober us. That ought to wake us up. Notice this, beware of false prophets. That's a strong admonition, beware. We're not, we just embrace all the false prophets of our circles. And by their fruits, you're gonna know them. These modern day younger evangelists, they're recapping everybody. They're trying to make good fruit out of bad fruit. They're telling those unsaved, "You okay like you are. Come as you are and leave as you was." And then they're trying to make saved people doubt. And recap, that Moses couldn't even make it in because he struck the rock twice, friend. Is everybody listening? Amen. Don't monkey with the gospel. You trust that, that's how you get saved. But false prophets are playing us. And just because they got more likes on Facebook don't make them right. Amen. Noah didn't have many likes on Facebook either. The fact checkers were real nervous. What is rain? But they found out. False prophets will lie to you. Notice verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." There is a place called hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. More people's going to hell than going to heaven, and false prophets are lying to us. And now watch me right here. My goal in this next point is not to get you to doubt your salvation. I pastor a church, and we started in a living room 35 years ago. Most of my converts are Church of God and Free Will Baptist, and I'm trying to get them eternally secure. The last thing I'm trying to do is talk you out of it. But I heard J. Harold Smith preach God's three deadlines three times in my life, and it never shook me. And they don't know what we're talking about, me and you do. And it never shook me because I had the liver on the inside.
Amen.
If you're saved, I can't talk you out of it. You think I'm stronger than the Holy Ghost is? If you've been passed from death unto life, if you've been regenerated, if you've been born from above, hey neighbor, I'm not going to talk you out of that. There's a witness on the inside, praise God, who tells you that you're saved. He's bearing witness that you've been passed from death unto life, that you're part of the family. I feel him now, amen, praise God. Now stay with me. But there'll be some who think they're going that's not going. I mean, it'd be awful to go to hell from a bar stool. It'd be awful to spend eternity in hell and leave a dance floor. I'd hate to leave some crack house or some dope house and wind up in hell, but you know what would be worse than that? Is to leave the front row of a Baptist church, or to leave the balcony of a Baptist church, or to leave the Sunday school room and a Bible-believing Baptist church and split hell wide open. It'd be awful. It'd be awful to go to hell knowing the gospel. Be awful hearing it over and over, because this crowd had the vernacular down. They had the vocabulary. Lord, did not we cast out devils? Now I ain't messing with that stuff. Somebody help me. I'm packing, but I ain't messing with no demons. Somebody say amen. These people get in some kind of a, you know, platform. They want to look around all the time for some devil to cast out. No. I'm dealing with deacons' wives. Some of them got seven devils in them, praise God. I think one of them's called Legion. Are y'all all right? Some of them prophesied in his name, preached. Philip's daughters didn't preach. They prophesied. Look up that Old Testament words, New Testament. They sang. Don't get nervous. I'm authorized version. I'm King James only. But you ain't gotta be some kind of Bible, Greek and Hebrew, to understand that women don't preach. Amen. If any man desire the office of bishop, so Philip's daughters could. Oh, that's another dispensation. My hind leg. Somebody say amen. Amen. They wasn't preachers. I don't even know why I'm getting on all this. I got a good little thought going here. But these delegates need to hear some of this. Some people think they're going, ain't going. Wouldn't it be awful to be a member of North Valley Baptist Church? Yeah. Wouldn't it be awful to be from the college, going to graduate from college, and you're lost? And you have a free pardon of sin. It's a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. He's given you eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you reject that pardon? Be awful. But some people think they're going, ain't going. I mean, they're going to have enough audacity at the white throne judgment. They're going to get up there and say, well, Lord, now we was casting out devils and we did many wonderful works. I was witnessing the man in Murfreesboro. I knocked on his door and he came to the Lord several years ago. And I said, I'm Brother Tony, so-and-so with Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. We'll invite you. Oh, he said, I've been serving the Lord for years. He said, you know down there at Manny Avenue Baptist Church? I said, yes, sir. He said, we put the roof, me and my boys put the roof on that thing when the tornado come through. That was like 1969. I thought, what have you done since then? These people here say, we've done many wonderful works and did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people think, say, going ain't going. Just because your mama's saved, listen to me, that doesn't count, that don't cover you. Amen. Salvation's personal. Yes. Just because your daddy's a preacher don't cover you. He wants everybody to know there's a hell. He wants everybody to know not everybody's going to heaven. He wants everybody to know more people's going to hell than going to heaven. He wants everybody to know false prophets will lie to you, and they're lying to us. He wants everybody to know. He wants everybody in this building. He wants everybody that's under the sound of my voice to know that some people think they're going to heaven aren't going to heaven. And then he wants you to know this, that there's no second chances after death. We live in a bailout society. I mean, Obama Motors. Help me now. We've been bailed out, everybody. No, sir, we used to bankrupt and divorce was two words, taboo. Now you get bankrupt and go buy an F-250. $80,000. I'm talking about the day you signed the papers. You can walk out of the courtroom, they'll still give you credit to buy a vehicle. Don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray. Some of y'all are just regretting your past. The altars are open. But you don't get a second chance. I've been bailed out of a lot of things. I've evaded appointments. But this is one appointment you're not going to get by on. My mother is so old-timey, she put on airs, but she's so old-timey, she wore knees out on her swimsuit. She's old-timey. And I had a toothache one time, and the dentist was closed at the weekend, and it was just hollering, hurting, exposed nerve, wind hit it. Can I get a witness? And and she went and got some vanilla extract. Now, not imitation vanilla flavoring, but I'm talking about, it's 90 proof. It's in a dark bottle. It says McCormick. And she'd take that stuff and she'd douse it on that cotton ball and take a toothpick and jab it down in my cavity. And it'd just go numb. And I was walking around, praise God. Mama, I think I need my medicine. Monday came around, she said, we gotta go to the dentist. I said, oh, it's a miracle, I feel better. Oh, dentist will lie to you. They say you're gonna feel a prick. Smelling burnt bone. Yeah. I'm gonna prick your jaw, feel like a ball peen hammer and a 10-penny nail job through your jaw. I've said, it's okay, Mom, I feel all right. I don't need to go to the dentist. Look at me. You're not gonna get out of this one. You can't reschedule this one. Now I'm almost through. There is a hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. More people's going to hell than going to heaven. False prophets will barefaced look at you in the eye and lie to you. And they're doing it all the time. Some people think they're going to heaven, ain't going to heaven. There's no second chances after death. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Now here's the message, I'm through. This could be the last opportunity that you have to trust Christ. Now I was preaching in a meeting with a preacher, it was a conference, and the preacher preached in front of me. And he preached a message similar to what I'm preaching right now. And if I'd have been lost, have you ever heard anybody preach a gospel? And man, if I was lost, I'd go down and get it again. I mean, it was so good. He bragged on Jesus and how ain't nobody ever born like he was born. Ain't nobody lived like he lived. Ain't nobody ever died like he died. Ain't nobody got up like he got up. Ain't nobody ever coming back like he's coming back. And man, I said, I want it again. Man, it's wonderful. If I'd have been lost, I'd have got saved. And the pianist came. And he said, let's stand together. And they started playing Just As I Am, or what the invitation hymn, I forget. And he said, if you're here lost, would you come? The Lord wants to save you. He died to save you. He gave himself to save you. It's a whosoever will salvation. Don't push him away. Would you trust him today? And he begged the crowd to come, and nobody came. And I was just thinking, man, how does that work? Can I get a witness? Every time I heard my daddy give the gospel, I mean, I could have been saved 9-11 times. He's the best I ever heard. I'd say, man, why ain't people getting saved on this thing? Very few times he preached it, they didn't. But this man gave the gospel and nobody responded. I said, man, something ain't right. And he started getting angry. And he made a statement. He said, we're going to sing one more verse. And if you don't respond on this verse, it'll be the last chance. You'll just have to die and go to hell. But when he said that, man, something flew over me. And I was sitting about where you are, and I thought, if I was the pastor of this church, and I'm a guest preacher, but if I had been the pastor, I'd have got up when he said, just die and go to hell on if you don't go. I'd have got him by the arm and said, look here, hoss, I got it from here. Won't you go on out of here? I need two deacons to escort this man out of the building. Because I was so mad, and I ought to have been mad, because he didn't know. He had no right to say this is your last chance. Because he don't know that. Brother Marion, he don't know that. He don't know that's his last. I said, that's wrong. He shouldn't do it. I said, what's that preacher letting him say that? But while I was arguing in my mind about it, the Holy Spirit began to work in my thoughts. And he said, but Tony, what if he'd have said, go on home? and come back tonight and you can get saved tonight. What if you said, I know there's a lot of people in here and it'd be embarrassing. You don't have to get saved right now. Just come on back tonight or next Wednesday. And it's like the Holy Ghost said in my heart, said he'd be just as wrong to tell somebody to leave and come back as he would to say, this is your last chance. Because nobody knows.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.